on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Our weekly opportunity to catch up with the Heritage Foundation, which, by the way, heritage.org. And we encourage you to go to their news website, dailysignal.com, often where we get a lot of the content we talk about each week. And we welcome onto the broadcast again, Genevieve Wood from Heritage Foundation. Genevieve, I hope you had a great week.
Had a great week. Hope you did as well.
Yeah, I did. As you know, I told you off the air, you know, our Lobos lost last night. So I'm going to predict they're NIT bound, which, you know, used to be the tournament, but, you know, it's kind of the consolation tournament now. But yeah, a good week, though. Well,
wish you well on that. If you win that tournament, you're still doing pretty good.
Yeah, and actually, you mentioned off the air, you're a Texas, you know, Hook 'em Horns.
Yes, I am.
And I honestly, I have not followed close enough. Are they doing well?
We're doing well. We took out Oklahoma State last night. It looks like we're headed to the Big 12 championship. So I think we take on our fellow Texans TCU this evening. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay. Well, before we jump into our content today, I'll leave with this. Okay. Since you mentioned Big 12, what does the N on Nebraska's helmet stand for?
Not Nebraska. I'm assuming you're going to tell me.
Knowledge.
Oh, well, they spell it wrong.
That's right. There you go. I thought a Texas fan would appreciate that.
That's good stuff. Yeah, well, that's why we're going to have to leave the Big 12. So we're heading to the SEC in a year or two here. But it's a good conference while we're in it.
Well, listen, we see a lot of headlines regarding abortion over the last year, you know, especially with the overturn of Roe versus Wade and the states dictating what laws are happening and what's available in those states. And unfortunately, New Mexico being a destination for abortions. But things are happening across the country. And you have news about the FDA's procedure for approving abortion, the abortion pill. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, no, thank you. Steve, I think this is a really important story for people to know a little bit more about, because I think, you know, a lot of news happens or actions happen and we aren't always following it or don't always know the history. But people may not know that the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, they approved the abortion pill back in the year 2000, so over 20 years ago. But what people may not know is it was on an accelerated process. So it didn't go through the regular standards of approval. They rushed it through. And what's interesting about that, there's now a lawsuit. The Alliance Defending Freedom is representing a number of medical associations and doctors and the like who are challenging the way the FDA went about that, because they said it really violates the FDA's own ways of doing that. The FDA regulations say that when you accelerate the approval of a drug, it has to be because that new drug has been studied for its safety and effectiveness in treating serious or life-threatening illnesses, and then it will provide benefits to patients over currently existing treatments. Well, that if this is being studied for treating serious or life-threatening illnesses, then the only way that the abortion bill would qualify is if you're saying somebody who's pregnant, that's an illness, that somebody who is pregnant has a serious disease, it's a life-threatening disease. And as we know, the vast majority of abortions in this country don't happen because it's pregnancy is a threat to the life of the mother. In very rare cases, is that the scenario? So they're questioning the very way the FDA approved this drug, and of course, one of the reasons this is becoming a hot topic right now is because of the decision to overturn Roe and sending it back to the states. You've got the abortion industry now saying, well, we're just going to mail out the abortion pills. If you live in a state such as Texas that has a law now saying it's not as easy to get an abortion, what they're going to do is say, well, you can just have pills sent in from New Mexico, for example, or one of the other states that has not banned abortion or made it more difficult. So of the 20 states where abortion is not legal now, in many cases after 15 weeks, there are about 20 of those states. The attorneys general in those states have said, you can't mail pills into this state. We've banned that in these states, and you can't send those in from other areas. And the abortion lobby is trying to do that, of course. So that's kind of where it is, and that's why the story is becoming a hot topic.
Yeah, and you really covered it, but I want to reiterate, 20 years ago, and I'm reading from the article that came out on the Daily Signal yesterday, the FDA's procedure for approving abortion pill was unlawful, lawsuit claims. It says in that article, the only way the FDA was able to accelerate the approval of, is it mifepristone? Is that mifepristone?
Right. There's a two-step process, and that's the first pill that a woman would take, and then there's another one, yeah.
But is by classifying pregnancy as, quote, a serious or life-threatening illness, unquote.
That's right.
For which the abortion drug provides, quote, meaningful therapeutic benefit. They fast-tracked it, and they worked their word salad magic to get it passed.
To make it happen. Yeah. And what people may not know is already about almost 50% of the abortions that happen in this country happen this way with the abortion pill, not necessarily somebody going into an abortion clinic and having an abortion there, but taking this two-step process.
Right.
So that's already almost 50% of abortions. But something people should know is that this abortion drug, over 50%, I think the number is 53%, you have a 53% higher chance of having complications,
right,
of needing surgery after, of having some really serious health issues by going this process. And what's also dangerous is they've made it now where you don't have to go to a doctor to get this prescribed. You can go get it on your own as long as the pills are available. And you can do this at home by yourself, not at a clinic, not under a doctor or healthcare supervision. And so you're really, so many people that are pro-abortion talk about we're going back to back alley abortions. Well, they're promoting women having abortions on their own, at home, taking these drugs, not under the care of a healthcare provider, not in a clinic or in a hospital setting. So the idea that that's going to be safer, no, it's not going to be safer. We know for a fact that it's not safer. We know that more women who go this route have more trouble than those who go into clinics. But it's just trying to get around the law. These are folks who care more about abortion in many cases, the right to an abortion, than they truly care about the health of women and the health of unborn babies.
Yeah, and yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. You know, it's awfully quiet when, you know, something like this comes up from the people who claim to be advocates for women's health care and claim that the places that women are going to get abortions, that's not all they do, that they're there for women's health. You mentioned the other thing that really stood out to me was the complications. And not that we would, you know, so go get a surgical abortion. No, we're not saying, you know, wouldn't say that. The pill has, for 20 years now, over 20 years, it's been very popular. I think you said, 50% of abortions, and then, but more complications arising from that than surgical abortions. So, yeah, why so excited about trying to keep the abortion pill available? And the story, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, to your point, this isn't saying, so we're encouraging people to do the other kind of abortion. Here's the issue is that what we shouldn't be talking about really is abortion. The reason that Roe was overturned and the reason it's sent back to the states is, A, it was unconstitutional. And the reason many states have now banned abortion or certainly said that we're going to restrict it to only the first, you know, trimester, first 15 weeks, you know, they're putting really severe limits on it, is because the voters in those states, the citizens in those states, have decided they want to protect unborn children, that they believe that that's not just some blob of tissues, that that's an actual human being inside the womb of a woman. And they believe that it should be protected and that people should not be allowed to take its life, whether it be in an abortion clinic or whether it be by taking the abortion pills. So that should be the focus. And again, the issue here is, do you believe it's life or not? And if you do, as many and increasingly the majority of Americans are believing that you should have more restrictions on abortion, not less, because there's great, you know, we can see a lot of things now that we couldn't see in 1973 when Roe was decided. you know, the 4D technology, what you can see inside the womb, what you can see in terms of the development of the baby, and medical technology that can continue the life of a baby who's born early. We see that increasingly. It was, you know, originally 28 weeks and then 27 and 20. Now you're down to 24. And it's amazing what it's been able to do.
Yeah.
So this idea that, you know, well, we're just going to, this is not a baby. It's just increasingly, I think most Americans realize that we don't think that's true anymore. And that's one reason I think you see so many states moving more towards restricting abortion as opposed to providing so much for it.
You know, and that being said, and you mentioned the technology, I do want to give a shout out to local ministry. It's nationwide, but our local CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque. The website, by the way, is carenetabq.com. And on the technology issue, and in speaking with them, I've become aware just over the past couple of years, women who are considering an abortion and go to a CareNet Pregnancy Center or other center where they can get an ultrasound, over 80% of, I think it's closer to 85, but I'll be safe, over 80% of those women choose not to have an abortion. And I remember talking with the staff, Paula Gonzalez, and the great team at CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque, who, by the way, is our featured ministry at KLYT for the entire month of March. I remember saying, you know, I used to play baseball, and if I was coach of baseball and I had a player that every time they stepped up to the bat, 80% chance at success, I would put them to bat as often as I could. So remind someone, you know, if you're aware of someone who's considering an abortion or you know, maybe there's a pregnancy they didn't expect, this is a great opportunity to have them make a good decision. And let me say this, too. If you know someone who's gone through an abortion, that the CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque will greet them with the love of Jesus and care for them, counsel them, and be very receptive when they walk through the doors. Wanted to make sure I mentioned them because they're doing such a great work in this community. Now, Genevieve, we have a related story somewhat because, you know, it involves the abortion pill, and Governor Newsom is making headlines again.
Yes, he is. First of all, I just want to say everything you just said about the Pregnancy Resource Center in your area and all those around the country. What great work. You're absolutely right. They're doing.
I mean, they're on the front
lines.
You
want to be on the front lines, and they really do care about women. As you said, I mean, they're showing the woman, here's what is inside you, and let them make the choice. And it's, you know, but it's amazing what happens when a woman sees what's actually going on inside of her body.
Yeah. And I'm super, super excited to see how those women are, the women who've already decided to have an abortion, that they're received, they're loved. I think often that, the body of Christ, actually, forgets that there's, these women out there that are hurting, physically, probably, their health is, you know, who knows what kind of health situation they're in, and spiritually, they're just in need of some TLC. So,
no, that's right. Well, so the related story that you mentioned was that just happened recently in California. So, of course, when the FDA recently is the one who changed the regulation, saying you don't now have to go to a doctor to get a prescription for the abortion pills, you can just go buy them, like, you know, like you'd buy Sudafed. It's behind the counter, but you could just ask for it. And if you're, I guess, have a license, that's basically all you need. And so, of course, you know, those that sell drugs, such as CVS and Walgreens, immediately applied to be able to do this. But what happened was that, again, these states, the 20 of them that said we're putting larger restrictions on abortion, said to Walgreens and CVS, you can't do that in our states. And Walgreens came out and said, okay, you know, you're right. We will sell this in states where we can, where abortion is legal, but we're not going to sell it in states or, you know, to people. If you're in Texas, for example, or another state that has restrictions on abortion, and the governor of California, even though he's a governor of California, not these other 20 states, came out and Walgreens didn't say they weren't going to sell it in California. They just said these other states. He came out and said, because Walgreens is kowtowing to the pro-life forces, that he was going to eliminate any contracts that the state of California had with Walgreens. and which I think is about $50 million worth of money here. So he's trying to pressure them. He's trying to pressure Walgreens into going back on what they said about doing in other states. But Walgreens is just following the law. Walgreens hasn't come out as a pro-life company. They're willing to sell abortion, these pills, in any state that will allow them to sell them. So that's hardly a pro-life position. But they are realizing that if I'm in a state that says we have restrictions and the attorney general of the state says they're going to come after us if we sell them, then we're not going to do it here. So they're simply following the law.
Yeah.
But he's trying to bully them and trying to make a case of that, oh, they're, you know, they've succumbed to the pro-life forces. No, they just succumbed to the law. That's all they've succumbed to. And my guess is CVS and other pharmacies will most likely do that as well because they don't want to end up in court.
Yeah, and I read it somewhere in the article. I want to say what one of the words that Governor Newsom used in talking about those that were trying to stop abortion was extremists. So
yeah, they're extremists, right?
They're extremists.
So California won't be doing business with Walgreens or any other company that cowers to the extremists and puts women's lives at risk. But again, you know, we just already had the conversation, which says, what puts women's lives at risk is taking these abortion drugs, and especially when they're doing it on their own. And so the FDA not only rushed this through 20 some odd years ago, now they've made it where you don't even have to go to a doctor to get a prescription. So where is the oversight, right? Where is the care for patients and the care for medical testing and the care for making sure that drugs that people are taking are safe and the way they're taking them are safe? That's kind of all thrown out the door. To me, that's the extremism. Is that you so much want to promote abortion that you're willing to throw out all the rules and regulations, everything we said we put in place to make sure things are safe. Well, never mind, not on this one. We'll do it on Tylenol, but not on this. So it just, it's, you know.
Yeah, I understand this.
Things are kind of upside down.
I understand the states, you know, having, you know, some things contrary to what the federal government, but, you know, the law of the land, you know, I mean, would he come to the defense of a, of a business that was, or would he come to the defense of, you know, human trafficking, you know, oh, you know, but it's against the law. Yeah.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I don't know. That's maybe not a great example, and it's pretty extreme. You know, maybe I was being extreme, but,
well, no, I don't, I mean, you know, we've talked about that story too. I mean, again, human trafficking is something that's actually on the increase now, not the decrease, even though you've got more people, I think, aware of the problem now than probably in past history. But the reality is, because of what's going on our southern border, you've seen a huge increase in the human trafficking business. Yeah. And primarily it's women and children coming up from Central America into the U.S. And in many cases, the cartels and these coyotes are capturing these women, capturing these children, and they're turning them into human trafficking. And it's, like I said, it dramatically increased over the past couple of years, which is a crime. But the fact is, if we want to do something about it, which many politicians, including probably Gavin Newsom and others, say they want to do, then you got to go to the source of the problem. And the source of the problem is what's happening on the border and these coyotes and the cartel knowing, you know, if people pay, we can get people through. And if we can get people through, we can sell them into these trafficking rings. You've given them a profit motive. And so it's greatly increased.
Yeah, you know, a lot of this content, I want to remind our listeners, they can find on the news website provided by Heritage Foundation, dailysignal.com is a website. You can get, you know, you'll find daily updates there, heritage.org as well. And Genevieve, I hope you have a great weekend, some great content, and I appreciate you informing our listeners.
Well, thank you. I know some of it's heavy, but we have to know what's going on if we're going to be salt and light in the culture and what's happening. So I hope your listeners stick with us and know that we're putting it out there because we know people can pray about it. And in many cases, they can also take action.
Yeah. And locally, let me tell the KLYT listener, bettertogethernewmexico.com is a way to, as the session in the roundhouse is, you know, nearing its end, an opportunity to still see some of those HB, SB, and other things going on in the roundhouse. And a quick, easy way. Listen, within 2 minutes, if there's a bill that's being discussed, you can quickly contact your representative. And what's provided there actually is they're pre-written letters, but you can edit it. You can make it in your own words. You can actually let them know, contrary to what the website is honestly encouraging. But it's a quick, easy way for your voice to be heard. And these all of these issues are something that we should be leaders in our community by reaching out to the leaders that are making these decisions. Genevieve, again, thanks so much. And thank all of you at Heritage for all the great work you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, and have a great weekend.
You too. Stick around. Coming up, we're going to rehash the content from last week's Friday Financial Update with Brian Cochran from John Moore Associates. That's coming up next on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.